Tonight's gospel reading is from Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Now the serpent was more subtle than any other wild creature that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat of any tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but God said, "You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. The word of the Lord.
Talk about a bad day. Later, people would say, well, everyone has a bad day every once in a while, which would come to be true. But at this point, it was not true. No one had had a bad day before, ever. Yesterday was the first bad day, and it was really bad. It was really bad, and it looked like today was going to be worse. Adam lay awake in bed thinking. There was one guy who could help him in a trial of this kind. He was sort of out of his depths, but given the role he'd already played in this whole mess, maybe it was out of the question to ask him. Eve rolled her head on the pillow, chewing in her dreams, swallowing hard. "I might as well get up," Adam thought. He put his feet on the cool grass, the dew waking up his toes as he walked. He took his coffee and sat on a great smooth rock that held the heat from the previous day. Adam loved the morning, sitting on the rock with his coffee, watching the sun reach up. And that's what he always thought. Well, up until Adam saw the morning coming, always before this first glimpse sent a spark through his body. That was before yesterday. And as many times as Adam told himself that today would be no different, that nothing really probably would change, that the world was the same sitting there on that rock. This morning, as the sun traveled up his shins, a pain stabbed his eyes. He could not catch his breath, and he knew the truth. It was he who had changed. Before he realized what he was doing, Adam was up and running, the coffee cup on its side, good coffee and fresh cream spilling down the side of the rock. "He's coming," Adam yelled in a language he'd never spoken before. And as it reached Eve's ears, it did not even seem strange or foreign. She understood its terror all too quickly. She was already dressed when Adam got to the house. She was running from room to room, picking things up, hesitating, starting towards the door, and then putting them back down. She felt like she should grab something, take something with them, but she didn't know what. She had never thought of anything as valuable before and didn't realize that that's what she was doing now. In frustration, she gave up, finding nothing of value, feeling like she had misplaced the one thing she would need. Adam came through the bedroom door, looked around wildly. He saw Eve in her business suit, rubbed his eyes, and hurried to the closet, pulling out a blue suit, three-button single-vent jacket and pants with cuffs. He found a shirt and tie and dressed hurriedly. It did not even occur to him that he'd never seen Eve with clothes on before, or that he himself had never worn them, never seen them, never even had a closet before. The early light filled the room. Eve looked at the window and then at Adam, her frustration now irritation. "We'd better hurry." "I'm hurrying," Adam said. "Have you seen my black shoes?" Blaming her for what he did not know or pause to consider. "Forget your shoes. Let's go." He finished pulling on his left sock and threw the right one down. Okay, let's go. They grabbed their briefcases and ran. Adam hit the back door with his shoulder, not wanting to pause to bother with the knob. They were down the back stairs and running hard. Eve took the fence in one leap, not breaking her stride. Adam followed. They looked into the darkness ahead of them, the dense trees the sun had not yet reached. They looked into that darkness, picking up the pace, faster, trying to get ahead of the light, needing the shadow of the trees. They made the tree line ahead of the sun, not stopping until they were well inside the grove. Adam collapsed against a tree, Eve on the ground. Their hearts were pounding, lungs burning, exhausted in a way they'd never known before. The sun came up, finding its way through the trees, melting the shadows around Adam and Eve as they clenched the earth on all fours and for the first time in human history, puked their insides out, losing every lunch that had ever been eaten or ever would be eaten until the end of time. They said nothing for some time, either working things out in their minds, figuring, trying to find a way out, find the next step, or not thinking at all. They tried to keep their minds in neutral, hearing only their own breathing and feeling the sun burn their skin. Adam rolled over on his back, coughed, and spit to one side. Eve sat up and leaned against the tree, trying to brush the vomit off the sleeve of her coat. "This is ridiculous," she said. "And?" said Adam, pushing against the earth with his heels, feeling the difference between the socked foot and the naked one, blaming Eve, almost hating her. "And what? And what? That's what I'm saying. Why are we running, hiding? Ridiculous. What are we going to do now?" Adam rallied a little, feeling some camaraderie, knowing that she was desperate and angry as much as he was. "We will, well, we know, well, we know what's going to happen next." Adam paused, but felt compelled to go on. "We know what'll happen next. There will be a trial. We will be found guilty. And then we will be put to death." Adam did not want to let death hang there, finding meaning and finishing his sentence. So he continued, And then, Adam, there is no and then. Once we have death, that'll be it. That is all we will have. You don't know. I know. You know. Adam did know. They both knew. Well, not exactly knew. They really had no idea what death was, what it entailed, whether it was something that happened to them or somebody did it to them. They only knew that it was the worst possible thing. And to the extent that they knew anything about death, they knew its precursor, dread. Just then, Eve heard a rustling in the bushes. She got an idea. What if we're found not guilty? If we're found innocent, Adam said, coming along. No, we'll never be found innocent. We only need to be found not guilty. What do you mean? Well, there are ways at the trial that we could argue that there were reasons, circumstances. I don't know all the workings of how these things go, but, you know, we really should talk to an expert. Bring a lawyer in here who specializes in these cases. Do you think we should? I mean, I've thought of him myself. He really is the only one. But if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't even need a lawyer. Of course, that's one way to look at it. But do you really think if he wouldn't have come along, we would have left that tree alone? Be real, Adam. Another week on our own, and we would have been all over that fruit. I mean, come on. Don't you think God had this whole thing worked out, leaving that tree there? Adam stared at her, not believing this was Eve, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, his better half. He felt like he almost didn't know her. She was so much smarter than him, clever. But how did she ever come up with this way out? Admiration overcame shock. She was on to something. Okay, tell me more. So God left the tree out there knowing all along what we would do? Exactly. He said that right there could get us off. He said? You already talked to him? Well, come on, Adam. I had to do something. I called him this morning while you were out on that rock pretending nothing had happened. The echo of a thought moved past Adam. What if he had not run this morning? It might have been, but it was gone, and the real stuff came clear. You called him this morning. Yes. Well, no, he dropped by. But what does it matter? This is the only option. If we don't call him in, what happens? We get death. If we do call him in and lose, what do we get? Death. We don't have anything to lose here, Adam. You're right. You're right. Of course you're right. She was right. When death is the only option, all other options are open. There is no wrong course of action, no road that is worse than the other, hoping against hope but not knowing. They all lead to the same end. There's always the feeling that if one followed the road in the opposite direction, it would not loop back around, or there would be some undiscovered turnoff. Virtue, righteousness, malice, and hate are all just different roads with death as the only option. One is just as good as the other. Okay, Adam said, resigned and sincere. Okay? Eve asked to confirm. Yes. Call in the bunny. Now you want to talk about spin, image control, public relations. This bunny had it all. In millennia to come, the bunny would be regarded as one of the most beloved of all God's creation, even above the children of Adam and Eve. People would do things for a bunny that they would never do for another person. You could hate people all you wanted, malign them, hurt them, be just downright mean to your mother or your brother, and tell people about it. And more often than not, they would sympathize with you, console you, understand. But you say, even mention casually in decent society that you had something against bunnies? And well, people would think there's something seriously wrong with you. They would think that you might actually be unbalanced. Oh yeah, that bunny was good. He laid this whole temptation apple thing off on one of the most beautiful and noble creatures of the lot. Pinned the whole thing on the serpent. Even when questioned later about the discrepancy, the bunny would just shrug it off. You weren't there. I didn't write the book. It says serpent in the book, so how he actually leveraged getting in on that Easter thing is unimaginable. That was one cold bunny. The bunny preceded them into the courtroom, hopping that hateful hop. They were the first ones there. No show, bet you anything, the bunny said smugly, directing them to sit down next to him. Then the bunny froze. Staring straight ahead, nose in mid-twitch, front paws on the latches of his briefcase on the table in front of him. Adam and Eve followed his stare to the judge's bench. God was sitting there. Adam and Eve were terrified. Their first instinct was to run, to hide. The courtroom doors, though, were all shut tight. The table in front of them seemed to offer no protection. They looked to the bunny. He was still frozen. Eve shook him. Hey, bunny, come on, say something. This isn't right. This isn't right. The bunny still did not move, could not respond. They looked back at the judge's bench where God was sitting. It hurt to look at God. God moved in the chair. Adam and Eve jumped behind the frozen bunny for protection, covering their eyes and screaming, no! What? God said, surprised. They didn't say anything at all. You can speak, God said. I'm not going to hurt you. That's not what we heard, Adam said. Heard from who? Look, said God. Where did you run off to in such a hurry this morning? And what in all of creation are you doing in here in this courtroom? And with the bunny? What do you mean, said Eve? We're here for the trial. What trial? God asked. At this time, Adam's anger overcame his fear. He moved to the middle of the courtroom. Oh, no, you don't. I'm not falling for that. You're trying to trick us, pull us in, acting like everything's fine, get us to admit something. Well, it won't work. Do you think we were created yesterday? I really don't know what you're talking about, said God. Right, said Eve, coming to Adam's side. You don't know about our trial? You don't know about yesterday? Yesterday, God said. Yes, yesterday, Adam exploded. Yesterday, with the bunny at the tree and the fruit. "Great, Adam. Way to go," Eve said. "You've condemned us before the trial even started." "See, I knew it. I knew that you were tricking us," Adam screamed. "You tricked us into telling you about the bunny and the fruit." "Oh," said God, "the bunny and the tree and the fruit yesterday. Now I see what you're talking about. Now I see what this is all about. Yeah, I was sort of waiting for you to bring it up, you know, when you were ready. Yeah, I mean, we don't need to talk about that right now, but we should talk about it sometime, soon. Maybe we could go someplace else, other than a little nicer than this courtroom." "Oh, no, you don't," Eve said. "We're staying right here in this courtroom where our rights are protected." "Yeah," Adam joined in. "We have our rights." "Rights?" God asked. "What are you talking about? What rights? Why do you need rights? Why do we need rights? What a question. What rights? Come on. Our right to a fair trial, to protect us." "To protect you from who?" God asked. Look, we demand a trial. We demand a trial," Adam stammered. "Are you sure that's what you want?" "Absolutely," they agreed. "Okay," God agreed. "Okay," they said. There was a pause. Eve and Adam looked at the floor. They looked at each other. They looked at the ceiling. They looked at God. God was smiling at them, a big God smile. "Well," said Eve. "Well, what?" God asked. "Aren't you going to start the trial? It was your idea. I think you should start." "Okay, all right," Adam began, taking on an official tone. "This trial is to determine whether or not Eve and Adam conspired with the bunny to eat the forbidden fruit and to render a judgment of guilty or not guilty." "That's pretty good," said God. "But didn't you kind of already admit that you did it?" Eve punched Adam in the shoulder. "Idiot," she said. Okay. Adam was exasperated. "We did it. We're guilty. What else can we say?" He turned to Eve, defeated. She, too, was exhausted and resigned. They stood before God. She said, "We're ready for our sentence." "Well," God said, seriously, with tears welling up, "you know what the sentence is." "Death?" Adam pronounced the word, barely audible. "What is death?" asked Eve, trying to keep the fear from overwhelming her. "When does it start? How does it happen?" "It started this morning. It happened when you ran. What do we do now? You have to leave paradise." "Do we have to go now?" Adam asked. "Right now," said God. They walked to the edge of paradise, to the big gates. God took out the key, unlocked them, opened them up. A bitter cold came rushing in. Beyond the gates was darkness and the faint sound of bunnies cackling. "Can we come back?" "If you can find the way." "Is it hard?" God did not answer. Adam and Eve stepped forward out of paradise and into the world. God walked out of paradise behind them. God shut the big gates and locked them from the outside. Then he took the key and threw it high over the fence into paradise. "What are you doing?" Adam and Eve asked. "I'm coming with you."